Secretary of State Alison Lundgren Grimes is one of the more popular state leaders and is frequently mentioned as a future governor or U.S. senator. I'm Philip Bailey, and on this Noise and Notes, I talk with Grimes about women in politics and voting rights in this year's presidential race. We also discussed the growing speculation that she will take on powerful Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell in 2014.
First and foremost, as I indicated during the campaign and now, one of the biggest priorities for me is protecting all eligible Kentuckians' fundamental right, as in our Constitution, both the state and federal constitutions, the fundamental right to vote, access to the ballot box for all eligible Kentuckians, and guaranteeing that every vote is counted and protected has and will continue to be a priority for me.
This is the 47th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act.
It sure is. And, you know, here in Kentucky, many people want to talk about ID laws and where Kentucky is or isn't. And I think it's important for the electorate of Kentucky to understand that unlike many other states that do not have ID requirements, Kentucky does. We are one of approximately 30 states that does have identification requirements. When you go to the polls November 6th, you're required to show an ID, whether it be your driver's license or, in my grandmother's case, their Social Security card, or a credit card with your name on it. Or if you don't have your photo ID, you have to be known by the precinct election officer.
Where do you think these laws are coming from? In 2006, there were none. As I said, we have about 180 now. This is going to affect, according to the Washington Post, up to 5 million voters, these laws. Five states, Kansas, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, and Wisconsin, will require voters to display a government-issued photo ID before voting. In the midst of a presidential election, I mean, where is this coming from here?
Well, you know, I work very closely with our county clerks, our local elected officials, and the federal government to ensure the integrity of our elections. And here in Kentucky, we've seen no indication of fraud, of in-person fraud, which would indicate that we would need to change, alter, or amend our current ID requirements. But what we have seen in states surrounding us, especially those that you just mentioned, they are Republican-controlled, both at the governor's level, then at the state legislature level. We have seen ID requirements being strengthened to be requiring a government-issued ID. In other words, for an individual like my grandmother, who is 82 years old, to go vote, she would have to show a government-issued ID. You're talking about a woman who, in the case of my late grandmother that just passed, she didn't drive. She used her Social Security card to present. You're talking about, in essence, alleging, because of a fear, a need of an increase in laws.
Well, the fear appears to be who is voting. You mentioned your grandmother, but it seems that these laws are disproportionately affecting youth. For example, according to the Center for Information and Research on Civic Learning and Engagement, CIRCLE, is the acronym, youth voting actually went up from 38% to 51% between 2004 and 2008. With 62% of voter-eligible college-educated students casting a ballot. In some of these states, like Texas, you can use your identification for your gun permit, but you can't use your college ID.
Right. In the words of Ohio Senator Turner, what we're seeing is a resurrection of Jim Crow laws. In essence, what I equate to being a poll tax. I don't think you make eligible Kentuckians, and luckily we are blessed with a governor and a legislature that understands the ID requirements we have here in this state are sufficient, that we are ensuring the integrity of our elections. But states surrounding us and nationally, as you mentioned, you're seeing an increase in laws that, regardless of whether they'll admit it or not, the unintended consequence is suppression of the vote. And
you think this is based upon, you mentioned Jim Crow, that's been in some of the editorials. You think this is based upon who's voting? Youth, minorities, the elderly?
I'm a big fan of this analogy, and I used it with my grandmothers when we would discuss this very topic. It's when you serve as Secretary of State, while I'm proud to be a Democrat and proud to be a part of the Democratic Party, proud to have led our Democratic ticket to get here, when you put the Secretary of State hat on, you represent all eligible Kentuckians, and you want to you want somebody in this office that is calling the game fairly, refereeing the game fairly, making sure everybody's voting vote, regardless of the way in which they're voting, is counted. You don't want a Secretary of State, in my opinion, attempting to play in the game, in the basketball game with you, or changing the rules at the same time while also making the calls. And what we've seen in states surrounding us is actually admissions. For instance, in Pennsylvania, you've had their Republican House leader admit that the law that they passed, which you know, requires government-issued IDs, would assist a Republican presidential candidate in their state. And the one thing I've learned in the 7 months that I've been in Frankfort is that no measure is good for all Kentuckians if it only benefits a few. And for me, I don't think that the short-term political gain that might be had by increasing laws is worth the effect it will have on your fundamental right to vote and access to the ballot box.
But not all things are good here in Kentucky, even though we don't have a voter ID law.
Right.
There are some issues that have come up, and I'd like to get your thoughts on them, because here in Louisville in particular, felon voting rights is something that I know a lot of social justice advocates and regular citizens are concerned about as well. The Sentencing Project came out with a recent report that found that in all, more than 7% of Kentucky residents of voting age now are banned from casting ballots. Why? Because they have been convicted of a felony. We are one of six states, Kentucky is second behind only Florida, when it comes to the rate of disenfranchised African Americans.
Yes.
This came up during the campaign, and I remember you said, well, this is an issue really for the General Assembly, but as Secretary of State, isn't it your obligation to sort of take this up as a main issue where we have 7% of our population that cannot vote, and a majority of them, a large number of them, appear to be African American?
As Secretary of State, you not only serve as the chief election official, but also the chief advocate for civic engagement. I'm a big believer, as I said, in the western part of the state when we were down there for Fancy Farm, that Kentucky is truly at its best when all eligible citizens are engaged and part of the process. And the statistics you just mentioned from the Sentencing Project, they are very striking, I think, especially when you look at the 7% of Kentuckians that are not eligible to vote because of a prior felony conviction. If you break that down, 20% of that population is concentrated on African Americans. And for me, personally, I believe when an individual has paid their debt to society, they should be able to participate fully in the democratic process. And that includes being able to vote in our elections.
You think that's something you would get behind in the General Assembly
next year? I think it's important for Kentuckians to understand that the Secretary of State doesn't carry legislation. It's up to members of the General Assembly.
I hope they would know that.
And
they're better.
Well, some might not. So just to put that out there, and also the status of things right now in Kentucky is, under our current constitution, if you're convicted of a felony,
you have to get your rights individually from the governor.
Right.
It seems to be a big burden for an individual to literally find a way to get to the governor through the petition process.
We're one of the few states
to do that.
You're exactly right. We are one of four states that still require felons to apply to have their rights restored.
But philosophically, in your opinion, when a person served their time, should they automatically get their rights restored, or should there be a process?
I do believe there needs to be a process, but I don't believe it needs to be any more cumbersome or burdensome than our current registration process. And we've seen movement in our General Assembly. Representative Jesse Crenshaw has really championed this cause for years, and you saw a lot of movement in it this year, coming out of committee, going to the floor, actually just yesterday, Senator Dan Syme come out to support restoration of felon rights as it relates to nonviolent felons. And for me, I personally believe and am behind Representative Crenshaw. This is a bipartisan issue now of making sure we have all eligible Kentuckians, once they've paid their debts to society, being able to make sure they're participating in our process.
Senator Syme's recent interview with Peer Politics, when he was talking with Ryan Alessi, that appears to be a little bit of opening there, because in years past, when these bills have come up, they've passed the House, the Democratic-controlled House, mm-hmm. but Republicans in the Senate have consistently killed those bills. Senator Syme is a Republican.
Yes.
And he admitted that there is a political barrier to it. You don't want to be seen as being soft on crime, but there seems to be a little bit of light there at the end of the tunnel. Everyone understands you're not a legislator, you don't make the laws, but what is it that your office can do to get back? Is that, is it more of a lobbying effort that needs to take place from the Secretary of State's office?
Well, I think we can continue to do what we did this year, which is to advise those representatives that assisted with the bill that was before the legislature as they were trying to consider what the process would be, what the registration requirement and for instance, the card would look like, what an individual who has served their time would have to affirm to. And for me, I think as we can reduce the number of 7% of adult Kentuckians who are eligible to be part of the process are now not because of prior felony convictions. If we assess those numbers and realize that we're keeping a lot of people away from the polls that once they pay their debts to society should be out there, I think we'll see this issue move further through the Senate. I think there is room based on what happened this past legislative session that you will probably see this issue come up again. And we are fully supportive of Representative Crenshaw's efforts in the Secretary of State's office to make sure that we're not disenfranchising Kentuckians who have paid their debt to society.
You're the only statewide elected constitutional officer in the Commonwealth. And
that's a female.
Yes. Yes. You're the only woman representing statewide in any elected office here in the Commonwealth. And your name keeps coming up for different offices and different races in the future. First, let me ask, you've been in office 7 months, and your name's already being mentioned for different things. Are you surprised? How are you settling into the Secretary of State role, first of all? It seems that you really, really enjoyed the job. You've met with troops and talked about issues of extending the vote for members of our armed services. You've tried to sort of clean up the business filing process and streamline that a little bit better. When the tornadoes and natural disasters hit, you made an effort to reach out to people in that way to make sure things were settled on that end. How are you enjoying the job?
Well, I tell you, I left my law practice to pursue being a public servant, and it really is service to all citizens of the Commonwealth as Secretary of State because I'm passionate about the issues that confront the Secretary of State's office, from elections that we've been talking about now to business. That's what my background is as a business attorney, and making sure that we're growing our economy and generating excitement amongst especially the youth for our elections.
Because you're considered a star in the party at this point, and a star statewide.
I don't know about that, but you know, it is.
Well, we know about that.
I appreciate that.
Politico mentions you in different stories. I mean, you're someone who has certainly caught a lot of attention nationally. Let me ask you just point blank. Are you interested in running for U.S. Senate in 2014?
Well, for me, it has been about doing the job that the citizens elected me to do. And the 7 months that I've been in office, we have been focused on making sure that we are especially giving the green light to the small businesses that are helping to keep Kentucky's economy going and growing, that we are working on our elections to make sure our ballot box stays open to everything.
And that's really not answering the question.
It has not, to be honest. My focus has been on doing the job that the citizens of Kentucky elected me to
do. But you certainly read the reports.
Well, I tell you,
you
right
read
now,
the newspaper.
Leading the Democratic ticket, it was something that I'd never anticipated or expected in the general election in 2011. Being the only female Secretary of State, it's a statistics that I'm excited about. It's one that I hope doesn't continue. The only female constitutional officer.
Chief,
we want more women involved.
You're the chief vote getter for Democrats in the 2011 statewide races. It's a statewide race. There's only a few offices that are statewide races. Yours, governor, U.S. Senate. I mean, are you interested in all in that position? Because I know Politico's mentioned you in pieces. New York Times has. Obviously, the Courier Journal. Kenny Colston from Kentucky Public Radio has mentioned you in some previous reports. Have you been approached at all about running against Senator McConnell?
I have been focused on my job as Secretary of State.
So you have not been approached.
There are a lot of eyes watching. I'm not only the only female constitutional officer here in the state of Kentucky, but the youngest Secretary of State.
You give
nationwide.
Me all the credentials for why you should run.
So I'll tell you this, Philip, is that we have a November presidential general election that's up and coming, and my focus has been on making sure we don't have any barriers to our ballot box and that it stays open to all.
You're good at staying on message, but I want to try to knock you off that message. I think that you just gave a lot of credentials and listing things. You've been around the state, toured around the state. You've gotten the most amount of votes that any Democrat got in last year's elections. It seems you're given all the credentials for why you should run.
I think Kentuckians are looking to me to do my job right now.
Do people approach you about that? Do voters?
There have been a lot of there's been a lot of expression as we've traveled the state. You know, I mentioned to you earlier why I got into this was especially not just to reach out to all Kentuckians to be engaged, but especially women. And we travel the state frequently, talking with women's groups from government student day down in Murray to working with GLO, the Greater Louisville Association of Women that operates here, to working with the Women Leading Kentucky, and there are a lot of women that are excited because women's voices are critical
to
the process.
For U.S. Senate?
There have been a lot of expressions of that, yes, for keeping...
Is it that you just think it's just too
involved.
Early to talk about this? Is that what it is? Because it seems that you've given me all the reasons why you should run, how qualified you are to run, the stature you have in the party, but you're still saying, well, I still want to focus on the job I have now. You just think it's a matter of... Let me focus on that. It's just way too early in the process, and maybe you'll comment on that after the presidential race.
I think that Kentuckians want me to be doing my job as Secretary of State. Me to be doing my job as Secretary of
State
right
but
now.
But I think, as President Obama said, people can walk and chew gum at the same time. And I certainly think whoever's going to challenge Senator McConnell, if he does have one, will have to start raising money pretty soon. He has an incredible war chest. He's a serious political
leader. Millions of dollars have already been raised.
Have already been raised, no doubt. And are sitting in a treasure chest somewhere. So whoever's going to do this needs to at least begin speaking up and thinking about it now. And you certainly are someone who can walk and chew gum at the same time. We get that you're still Secretary of State, but are you interested in running against Senator McConnell at all in 2014? Yes or no?
My focus has been on the Secretary of State's office. It really has. And there's been little time for me to consider anything other than the issues that the citizens of the Commonwealth elected me to come to Frankfort and to consider and to weigh and to make sure we're moving forward so that we're not moving backward.
Is it the same thought process on 2015? Too early to talk about running for governor?
Well, unless we're going to talk about the elections that might be up in 2015, I'm just honored to be where I am as Secretary of State.
You mentioned, and we've talked a lot about being the only woman in office statewide, and this is going to be a subject that's going to be talked about pretty soon. MSNBC is going to have a special coverage of women in politics, how the numbers are considering the population. Women are the majority of this country. We do not see that in Congress, whether the House or the Senate.
Right.
We still have never seen a female president of the United States. We're just now, I believe, on our fourth Supreme Court justice who's female. We have the most that we've ever had on the court with Justice Sotomayor, Kagan, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg. But we're not seeing the numbers here. Where does that come from, in your opinion? Is that misogyny still? Is it still just an issue of sexism? Or is it some people have said women are just as interested in politics as men are?
Oh, no, I do think women are interested in politics, and I think their voices, as I've said numerous times before, they're critical to the process of keeping everybody engaged. I think that we face an issue right now with reaching out to women, to as I like to say, working with the grandbabies to the grandmamas, to make sure that they understand that their voices matter. 473,000 Kentucky women who are eligible to register to vote that are not is not a statistic I'm proud of. And if we are going to change the number of women that are in the House, in the Senate, both at the state and federal level, we have to make sure that women are actually part of the process. And right now in Kentucky, 53% of our electorate is women, yet we're not seeing those numbers translate into elected officials. I heard an interesting poll coming in to work this morning that Gallup just recently conducted back in the 1970s that said, among women, do you want to be working outside the house? Do you think you need to be working outside the household, or would you rather be at home taking care of children? And back in the 70s, it was obviously a majority of women felt that they wanted to be in the home. But today, that poll is actually reversed, and women are obviously, for financial reasons as well as many more, are outside, and they are the breadwinners. They are the ones leading the Democratic tickets, and it's a exciting time that we need to embrace. And we just came off the heels of the U.S. Olympics. You had the U.S. Olympic women's basketball team achieve a feat that I'm not so sure we were trying to fact check on the way here that the men's team has never accomplished, and that is 5 consecutive gold medals, 41 wins at the Olympics. And it's about encouraging and empowering women so that we can change the statistics. We must change the statistics. And not only for those that have come before me, my grandmothers, but for those that are still here. Margaret Harris, she is a woman 105 years young. She will have her 106th birthday this coming Saturday, August 18th, and exercise her right to vote for the first time since Herbert Hoover, because we reached out to her and understood that she did not understand what the registration requirements were. It's in the spirit of these women that I hope that all women understand the need to be engaged, the need to make sure they are represented, the need to make sure their voice.
But isn't that, I said earlier, you don't think it's an issue of ambition. We did recently, Kenny Kelston interviewed former auditor Crit Llewellyn, said she wasn't interested in running in 2014, but she may be more interested in running statewide. Is it the fact that we see female candidates reluctant to get into the ugliness of the game?
Well, I think if my campaign is anything, it's an example of the fact that Kentuckians really respond to positive energy, not negative attacks. That they respond, they want to hear.
So that makes,
they don't. They want to hear solutions, not sound bites.
That makes, I'll use that in the campaign. I remember that one. But I have to go back to this. What do you think about Senator McConnell's leadership?
Well, I think we have moved beyond the days of fear tactics, and I think as we talked about a lot of the litigation that you're seeing across the United States, it's a lot for Kentuckians to discern the basis of certain statements, and I think you're going to see a lot of that unfold over the course, especially as his election approaches.
Was that a hint?
Well, I tell you, I got to see the senator at Fancy Farm, and we might not agree politically on a lot of things, but the one thing we can agree on is that Kentucky does matter, and we've got
to do more
for our citizens.
So it would be a respectful race if you were to challenge it.
Well, I think that's what Kentuckians want, need, and I think that's what they deserve.
So that's another hint. We're going to get you one day. Well, Secretary of State Allison Lundgren Grimes, thank you for coming in and joining me.
Thank you, Philip, very much. I appreciate it.
Noise and Notes on WFPL is produced by me, Philip Bailey, with Joe Durso. For more, visit WFPL.org. In his pockets, and she wreck his days, and she make him love her, then she shoot fly away. She got a black dress on, for $1,000 she wears.